podcast time, jump aboard. This podcast won a award from a site called The Poke. I don't know what that is. Breakfast XFM, it's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's Breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Hello, Matt.
Hi, Daniel.
How's it going?
I'm good, thanks.
What are you doing right now?
I'm just looking up other bands that have their names inspired by horses.
I was hoping... What?
Hang on. Happen.
I was, the answer I was expecting was, I'm contributing to the introduction of podcast number 62.
Oh,
and
yes,
now I look
yeah.
at your screen, there are horses on there.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, because you know Ryan Jarman's new side project is called Exclamation Pony.
Of course.
It's quite an overused thing to have, like, equine-inspired names.
Well, there's that band of horses, isn't
band
there?
Band of horses, New Young Pony Club,
yeah.
Foals.
Oh, yeah,
there's quite a few, aren't there? You see,
yeah, there's three.
Yeah, that's probably it. I've just there's one called the Donkeys, apparently, in America. Anyway, let's do the podcast.
Yeah, okay. Russell Tovey's on today. You'd probably call him Russell Pony. Quizface makes a welcome return. And this week features some horses. You'll hear them. We say, whatever, summer. We celebrate 1 year of work experience, Steve. We retire two of our favourite anecdotes. And we do something about a thing.
Slugs.
What?
Slug chat.
I just finished the link. And then I just hear, slugs? Slugs? How am I supposed to... I've peaked it. We do a thing about a thing. And then, who slugs? It's going to sound scrappy. Oh, this will be fine. I'll let it straight back in. Plus, slugs! Happy?
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
A parrot died. Its last word was cheerio.
Oh.
And then it went.
Wow.
That's all there is to that story, though. It was quite nice. His owner, Mrs. Morgan, it's very formal. Mrs. Morgan believes that he managed to live so long because it was a life of being spoiled. It was quite an old parrot. 55, this parrot. It's an old parrot.
I didn't realize they got that old.
Yeah, well, this one did, but it mainly spent its life eating Kit Kats and watching Corrie.
Not a bad life, is it?
I just saw a massive look of jealousy flash across Matt Dyson's face.
Do you think it knows what it's saying? You know, they just repeat them, words, don't they? Do you think it really knows when it said goodbye, cheerio? Do you think it knew that that meant cheerio? Or was
sure.
it just saying things it had heard?
Because that would imply that it sensed its own impending death.
Yes.
And then thought, I've got time to squeeze one last word
what
in.
What do you think? Does it say anything about it?
Because what would you do, Matt? Would you plan your last word, or would you quickly have another Kit Kat?
Have a Kit Kat.
Let's just hope it wasn't during a cliffhanger in Corrie.
Yeah.
Poor parrot.
Oh, I know.
Poor parrot wouldn't know what's going on. So anyway, he's gone. So I thought so with... Well, that's a bit weird to say. I mean, I thought, you know, hope is going to be all right. Well, it's not, is it? Let's move on.
All right,
move on.
What, so you don't care about the parrot?
I care about giant. I care about giant Spanish slugs.
Okay.
Who have been coming over here, stealing our female slugs.
Wow.
They've been mating with British counterparts, and these giant Spanish slugs seem to have some kind of plan to create a mutant strain of super slugs.
Oh, no.
So these Spanish mollusks are already thought to have invaded the United Kingdom, hiding away in salads in the summer months. And they've already spread to Wales. And whatever dark plans they've got, it involves, it seems pillaging and all sorts. These guys, they're 15 centimetres in length. They can produce in slength. That's a way of saying slug snail length. Slug length, yeah.
That's what they say. That's what the experts say.
Yeah, that's what all the experts slank. Say. and they produce hundreds more eggs than the typical British slug.
Oh,
our brave...
Oh, plucky
little slugs. So anyway, it could spell trouble for the indigenous slug population. Oh. And slug expert Les Noble... of Aberdeen University.
And this is great. Expert.
Yeah, and I wish that there were more slug stories. And I hope, if anything, that these giant Spanish slugs create more work and more quote work for Les Noble of Aberdeen University. Because this guy's been hiding away for too long. And he's boom, he comes out with a great quote. He's been waiting to pounce
he's
so long.
A lot of exposure with this story, I think.
Les Noble.
Yeah.
These slugs are like conquistadors were to the Aztecs.
Oh.
It's straight in. It's a powerful, bold statement. Native slugs can't keep pace and become extinct. A woman from Wales has claimed to have seen the giant slugs in her garden eating snails. Our dog caught one, she said. It was so big I thought it was a mouse.
Oh, no.
This woman's never seen a mouse.
We are...
XFM. It's bleak out there. It's bleak. Well, I've got something that'll cheer you up. Now, last week, during the important broadcast, Working Sprint Steve told a little story about him being walking around Lake Meadows in Billericay and happened upon a little turtle. Remember that, Steve?
Yeah, I do, yeah. It's
quite a big moment in your life, just walking along. You tried to take a picture, didn't you? You weren't quick enough for the notoriously slow reptile. This was the moment, Al. You were walking through Lake Meadows.
Yeah, and on the little, I suppose, river bank.
Right.
There was a tiny little turtle.
A turtle?
But I ran home to tell Geraldine, my mother, about it. Because I was, you know, excited.
Of course.
And then she went, Stephen, is this not the same situation as the time you thought you saw stingrays underneath Clacton Pier?
But it turned out that you may very well have seen them.
I know, I can't believe that.
Skate and chips, it's the winger for one of those guys. It's, you know, they're caught off the Essex coast, aren't they? I once saw, and now I always wondered if this was a dream. I've looked it up. No, I saw this. A scorpion in Bow. Absolutely true. I used to live in an old factory, an old kind of match factory. And one day I was looking out the window and I saw what looked like a tiny black scorpion. No larger than, say, a thin beetle, if you can imagine that. And, just sort of scooting around. You're looking at me like I'm odd. You're the one spotting skate under Clacton Pier.
Yeah. Okay.
But now, today, Hampstead Heath has got its own problem. Crayfish. Authorities have been forced to issue a warning following reports that an invasive breed of crayfish has swamped the open-air pools, and begun nipping swimmers in intimate places. It's a particularly sensitive problem in the men's pond, where many bathers prefer to swim in the nude. It's the red swamp crayfish, and they've got over here somehow, and everyone's just going, I'm seeing crayfish here and hither and thither, all over the place. Everyone's wary of them, getting nipped left, right and centre. This in the same sort of, you know, well, the same month that the Spanish super slugs have invaded.
Oh, yeah.
Coming in over here, stealing our slug women, putting the plucky British slug out of business. What's going on? The scorpions, crayfish.
The animals are going crazy.
It's the kingdom. But I think it's the weather. I think it's everything that's going on with the weather, the way the weather's moving. I mean, summer, if you look outside, Dave, just describe what you can see right now.
Oh, it's dull, it's bleak, it's wet, it's grey.
Not the show. What's outside the window? It is, it's like, well, autumn has arrived, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it feels like summer was over in the blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
The weather's doing whatever it wants these days. But I think, let's look on the positive, right? We've got autumn now. You know, it's like when Talisa, last week, she said, no, I didn't want to get number one. No, I'm not bothered. Not bothered about getting number one. I don't know why I'd do it. I didn't do it for that. It's like that with summer, isn't it? It's kind of like, whatever summer. So if Dave, you know, if you had to say goodbye to summer now, which you obviously do, how would you do it in your, you know, least defensive way?
Yeah, well, I'd probably go something like, whatever summer!
Yeah, whatever.
I'm like so over those boringly long, bright evenings we've been having recently. Jeez. Everyone knows you only did a little bit of vitamin D per day.
Yeah.
So I'm done with it. I'm looking forward to the darkness.
You're not bothered, are you?
Not bothered
at all. Whatever summer. So people talk about a lazy summer. That was a lazy summer, wasn't it? Whatever summer. You think you're so cool? You barely made an effort. Oh, look, June 3rd, my kitchen brightened up for 6 seconds. What was that? That was summer. Phoned it in this year. Lazy bone knit. Checky contract. It says blue skies, short skirts, tan lines where your watch was. What do we get? We got rain and tweed. We got a sun as powerful as one of those... There's little dynamo lights on a bike pedaled by a sickly child. Look at your pallor, it's unsettling. Look out your window, summer. This is how you do a season, yeah? It's bleak, it's wet, it's nippy.
Commit.
Gales of 55 today. Autumn is on it. There's thunder later. We love it. Wet brown leaves, duffel coats. Dave, look at my coat in the corner. What coat did I bring in this morning?
It's massive.
It's a duffel coat. Thicker socks on. Autumn has got this nailed. So whatever, summer. See you in 2013 if you can be bothered to turn up this year.
We are XFM.
Man, I came into the studio this morning, ladies and gents, to find a shocked Rich Walters. There's just screens all over the place. No chairs. Pens didn't work.
Really?
No Matt Dyson. Nothing going on. It's like foxes have been left into the studio again. It's amazing what happens here on the weekend. I've got to listen back to Gordon Smart's show to see if they were just destroying the place. I think he flies into a rage.
I think it's Eddie TM.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm going for Eddie.
The gentlest man in rock.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
Because he had DJ Shadow on this week with him, so maybe he's trying to impress his mates.
Say no more.
Yeah.
Say no more.
Showing off.
You had a great time at Biffy Clyro.
I did, yes.
Tell me all about it.
It was great. They all bowled on stage at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Topless, as they always are.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah, all topless.
What's wrong with... They're going to catch their death. Have they not seen the weather? What's wrong with Biffy Clyro?
Well, it was quite a nice day on Saturday. Hopefully they had got themselves back into some sort of clothing by the Sunday, because you're right, it was freezing.
And it turned.
Yeah.
Poor Biffy. But they did a terrific job, didn't they? They're amazing, I heard.
And, they're an amazing live act, and like I was saying, just hit after hit.
Really?
And you just don't know where the time goes, and before you know it, you've been watching them for 2 hours just because you're enjoying yourself.
Wow.
So
and the mosh pit going crazy.
The mosh pit was going absolutely bananas.
Yeah.
People crowd surfing, Danny. Once again, I don't recommend it. It looks dangerous.
Does it?
Yeah, there was one kid who kind of got thrust up into the air from the crowd.
Oh, dear.
And just went back down into the crowd again head first.
Oh, wow. And like a proud leaping salmon.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
A beautiful salmon.
And then you saw him get dragged over the front and he kind of just walked off dazed and confused.
And what were you doing? Just standing outside with a clipboard?
Yeah, just making notes for Monday morning.
Just going, oh, this is...
Danny's going to love this.
I had a very similar rock and roll weekend. Last night I watched the film I Don't Know How She Does It.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
No!
Should have been called I Don't Know Why They Made It. That's all right. I kind of, you know, by the end, I was sort of relating to it, but it was the least rock and roll weekend ever.
Is that Sarah Jessica Parker?
Yes, yes, yes it is. Being Sarah Jessica Parker, wearing Sarah Jessica Parker clothes and showing off handbags.
Yeah.
And having to juggle everything. Oh. I don't see it, Dave. It's not for you.
No.
It's not for you. But it was for me, and it made me a little bit emotional because my son's going to nursery for the first time today.
Oh, I see.
So we're going to hear back then today. So last night he was going, I really want to go into XFM and see what the news is. He thinks this is a news station because he is obsessed with Matt Dyson.
He is.
Where's Matt Dyson today?
Well, he's not in today.
He's not in, is he?
He's ill.
He's ill, poor little Matt.
Yeah.
So it's lucky I didn't bring my son in, because he would have thought Matt Dyson was a fictional figure in all our lives, which in many ways he is. He's like a spirit, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Comes in, just lights up the room and disappears again.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're listening, Matt, he's not listening. But if you're listening, do please get better soon.
We are XFM.
Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace, and we're excited this morning. Matt Dyson, described the man to your immediate left.
He's wearing a maroon cardigan.
Burgundy.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, it is burgundy. That's why I struggled with it, you see. He's carrying a bag that a cyclist courier would maybe carry.
Right.
But he is
Things aren't going too well.
But he is the actor, Russell Tovey.
Russell Tovey's here.
Hello.
How are you, Russell?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Not at all. It's just twice. We've never met before. Well, I say that. We've met twice in 1 week and never before that.
Yes.
We were I was going to say a similar wedding, but it was actually the same wedding. that's how that works.
Yeah.
You've done so much fantastic TV. I very much enjoyed you in Sherlock.
Thanks,
as well.
Danny.
Are the next steps, is it all film based? Is that the Tovey plan?
It's just, huge movies.
Is that
yeah.
Just written that down. That's how it works.
Now, that's how it goes.
Do you put a list under your pillow at night? Is that how being an actor works?
No, some people say that you should put things like as passwords on your computer, like you should write BAFTA.
Oh, really?
Like 2015, if you want one or something. I don't know.
Is that right? And then it happens.
Yeah, it's bad to say my password then, but I'm not saying that.
Right. What is your password?
I'm not saying.
And who else is in Tower Block?
Sheridan Smith.
Brilliant.
Dame Sheridan Smith.
She's a dame in waiting, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on? It's like, since, what was the sitcom? Two Pints of Lager.
Two Pints of Chris, yeah. She's shaking off the chav now.
She's shaking off the entire image. And
although she does play a chav in Tower Block.
Is that right?
She's brought a bit of that back.
I see.
She's shaking it off. She's been shot that off.
But, do what you're good at. She does that. You play the alcoholic.
That's right. It's perfect.
With the dark clouds. And Russell, from where do you hail?
I hail from Essex, is my roots.
Where specifically?
Specifically, I was born at Howardwood Hospital.
Less specifically.
Billericay.
That's what I'm going for.
There you go.
That's something in the middle. The town of Billericay.
Billtown.
Would it surprise you, Russell, to
learn
there's someone else from the media who hails from Billericay, of all places?
Denise Van Outen.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. That's one of them. And the other one, the one they're all going to be talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Future Billericay.
Who?
After you.
Oh, what?
Work experience Steve over here.
No.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
here
you.
He is.
Steve.
Yeah.
From Billtown.
Very much so.
Do you commute every day?
I do.
Craziness.
Yeah, it's knackering.
That train is rubbish. I was so thankful when I
moved. Very specific
there.
Broadcasting. Very niche market.
I used to get terrible train rage on that trip.
Oh, like, me too.
Can't do anything about it, and it's so expensive.
I feel like we're kindred spirits.
Yeah, there's a lot happening. Yeah, and that and that is a convenient enough note for this, because what we're doing is, Russell, we're training him up in the art of talking to our A-list guests. Recently, we unleashed you on Ray Winston.
Wow.
Your big interview. So, with your
permission.
Another Essex boy. Another Essex boy, exactly. We're keeping it to the heartland, first of all, before we allow him to talk to anyone else.
Crunch out.
Steve Ferdinando, two important big questions. Is that right?
Hello, hello.
Hi, Steve.
Yeah, mate, how's it going?
That's nice, making a connection.
It's great, thanks.
Yeah. Brilliant, cool. This will be your standard interview. Yeah. So, question answer
really
format.
Really make him excited, right. That's it.
So, let's start with the easy question.
Yep.
Question one. The easy question.
So, you're from Billericay, as am I. Both from Billericay. As you've no doubt heard, on Tuesday, a turtle was spotted by myself.
You saw one.
In Lake Meadows.
A turtle?
A turtle.
You've got him in the lake.
Now lure
him
in. Meadows.
On the lake bank, just where the railing is.
What, a terrapin or a turtle? Or a
some say terrapin, I say turtle.
How big was it?
About a foot.
Width and length?
No, it wasn't a square turtle. It was turtle shaped. So,
wow, that's how you knew it was a turtle.
Well, of course, you say some people would say turtle, some would say terrapin. Experts, of course, would say a terrapin.
You say a large terrapin.
Accurate people would say terrapin.
Yeah. Well, so you've obviously heard about this.
No, it didn't make the news.
It did on our show.
Have you ever seen a turtle in Lake Meadows?
Boom.
Never ever. I've seen a squirrel, never a turtle.
Brilliant, we should go for a beer sometime. Now time for the hard question.
Here it is.
Question two. The hard question. What's the worst thing you've ever seen on TV?
Worst thing? It'd probably be something on embarrassing bodies, wouldn't it? Just sort of kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
Yourself?
Flipped it back on you.
A dead turtle on TV somewhere? Or?
Winston did this. I never prepare for this part of it. probably one of those reality TV programs. The latter series of wife swaps.
The latter,
you know,
the earlier ones were fine.
Oh,
they started strong, but they really lost their way.
They petered out, didn't they?
Yeah. Russell Tovey, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Steve Ferdinando, two important big questions.
Russell, your thoughts
on? I just think that's a future there. That's gold. That your magic.
Yep.
People should be worried.
He's struggling to find the words to describe what just happened.
XFM.
Let's get Matt Dyson's music news.
Music news.
Here it is.
Here it comes,
everybody.
Mumford & Sons are all over XFM at the moment with their new album out this week. And Winston and Ben from the band have been telling us how they've been breaking America and enjoying the positives that come with that, including the chance to meet one of their 90s kids TV heroes on Saturday Night Live.
Big deal for me was I watched Keenan and Kel growing up quite a lot.
Right.
And Keenan was there.
Really?
But in my mind, I was going, don't mention Kel. What happened to Kel?
No one knows.
I didn't even know who Keenan and Kel were till I heard that. Apparently they shout orange soda a lot.
They're
on Nickelodeon.
Lovely catchphrase.
And they did an Exposure album playback with John Kennedy last night talking through...
Keenan and Kel did?
No. Winston.
He will take anyone these days. It got that hard that JK is doing album playbacks with Keenan and Kel. What's going on here?
Mumford & Sons did an Exposure album playback, of course. The next big album playback is happening this Friday lunchtime. They don't often happen at lunchtime, only for the big ones.
Is it Dick and Dom?
It's Dick and Dom.
We are XFM.
Autumn has definitely hit 7:26, and we are saying, whatever, summer, just get over yourself. Yeah? Not angry, just not bothered about you. Bothered at all. That's what you're all saying. Like Monica and Raynham. It says, whatever, summer. I didn't bother getting my summer wardrobe out, actually. And I can't stand your tardiness. Just be on time next time. Yeah, whatever, summer. Neil and Coulson, whatever, summer, spent a very substantial amount of money converting my sloping and very child-unfriendly garden into a safe and magical play area for my young boys, but, you know, whatever. Along with comfortable seating and a relaxing area for myself and the wife, but whatever. It was all completed in May, whatever. And it rained, didn't it? It's still raining now. Thanks for nothing, summer. Whatever. See you next year.
Yeah.
Thank you. Dave.
This is from Rudy. Whatever, summer, I want you to go away and think about what you've done.
Yes.
Or more to the point, not done. Ooh. This summer. Not another word from you. Good day.
Yeah, good day to you. Good day to you, sir. Helen in South Ruislip. Yeah, whatever, summer. I've been cheating on you for years with better summers than any in other countries anyway. So you're special. You're not special. Ooh, that's a harsh thing to do, isn't it? To come out with the old, to bring that out. Gareth says, whatever, summer. Copying autumn and spring with your torrential downpours. Ooh, you've changed. The old summer was better. And I don't want to hang out with you anymore. Whatever, summer.
Ever.
What else, Dave?
Whatever, summer, from Gareth, making me get summery things from the loft. Well, the fans stayed there this time. You ain't as hot as you think you are, summer.
Matt the Chippy, what do you want to say to summer?
Whatever, summer. Yeah. Even though you managed to cook my pale skin for one day, doesn't mean I'm not going to switch over to the trousers and the vest under my shirt for work. Autumn's got his sensible shoes on. Not like you, you ninny hammer. Oh. Now do one.
Oh. Yeah, you do one, you ninny hammer. Teacher Alan in Enfield says, whatever, summer. Tatty Bai, you dodgy builder of a season, promising so much yet delivering so little, turning up for random shifts a month late, doing sloppy work, taking numerous tea breaks, and nicking off before the job's really done. You're sacked! Whatever, summer. Nice work. Any others there, Dave?
Yeah, Mitch, whatever, summer, you turn up late to the party, you don't show much interest when you're there, and then you leave early. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Yeah, summer. Exactly. Joe from Dartford just says, whatever, summer, you suck. Confirmed listener Rachel says, whatever, summer. Never really liked you. I look better in deep berry colours. I love scarves. I really enjoy that feeling of walking home from work in a pouring rain, knowing that I can immediately snuggle up in my PJs and get all warm. I'll be warmer in my PJs than I was this entire summer. Just give it up, summer. I'm not angry. I'm disappointed that you didn't even try. Nice work, Rachel. And there's one here that really makes me think. It's Johnny in Mile End who just says, well, I thought I knew you. How could I ever really know you when you keep yourself to yourself in this way? Mm. So secretive and unwilling to open up or let go, summer. I never knew you, I realise now. Because who are you? But now I've found someone else, someone I can believe in. Someone who will be there for me. Every drizzly, wet step of the day.
Yes.
I don't think of the leaves on the trees falling. I think of them as finally able to hug the earth in gratitude. Their tiny spines full of delight that the rain and wind and thunder is back. For we have autumn now. Autumn and the comfort of home. Autumn and the comfort of what we know. Whatever, summer, off to Australia with you, for this is Britain.
Yes.
And this is autumn.
Oh, yes.
Whatever, summer.
XFM.
I had a disturbed night's sleep, ladies and gents. A disturbed night's sleep. I don't know if you've ever dreamt about a colleague, but I dreamt about someone who works here.
Hello.
This very radio station. And I would say that actually the dream wasn't just a dream, it turned into a nightmare. I wonder if that's ever happened to you. Has it ever happened to you? Do you dream of me, Matt?
Sometimes Baby Dave pops up in dreams.
Why does no one dream of me?
He just dreams it undermines me. I'm sure I have dreamed of you before.
I doubt it. I don't appear in Dave's dreams alongside his father. We're somewhere else in some other dream somewhere else.
Yeah.
Probably popping up in a stranger's dream trying to find a way to Dave's. And now you don't dream of me either. What's going on? Why am I so undreamworthy?
I wouldn't say I've not dreamt of you. I'm pretty sure I have dreamt of you.
What did I do?
I can't remember.
Forgettable.
I cannot recall.
I made a cameo, a forgettable cameo.
Yeah, just a cameo, yeah.
I dreamt of Gary on reception. gentleman who works downstairs.
And brilliant.
He sort of chased me into reception in this dream. And then, this is the very disturbing bit, he snapped my finger off.
Oh,
and I had to seek medical treatment immediately. But I was almost just wanted to talk to Gary about it. And how do you confront, I mean, how, you know, when someone crosses over into the netherworld and becomes a part of your psyche somehow?
Yeah.
He's in there now.
Yeah.
How am I going to get him out? And how am I going to look at him? How do you look at someone that you've dreamt of without immediately thinking, you snapped my finger off?
I think you need to discuss it with him.
I don't feel like that would be appropriate.
He's not really a menacing man, though. He may be like a security guard overnight, but he's quite a friendly chap.
Is it a fear of authority?
I'm not sure.
I must have some deep-seated, deep-rooted fear of authority.
It was the snap your finger off.
Yeah. It just came right off.
I don't know. We need to get this analysed.
Let's get this analysed. Let's get onto this.
Very bizarre.
I'll do that this afternoon. You guys, of course, are off to the Scotch Egg Challenge in Wandsworth, in a pub in Wandsworth. You're going to, let me get this straight, you're going to travel all the way to Wandsworth. You're going to sit in a pub, both of you, just together on a small table, and you're going to eat some Scotch eggs.
We were going to.
What do you mean you were going to? This was all you could talk about. Thursday, Friday, this was all you could talk about.
I know, we were so excited.
Oh, it's going to be brilliant.
It sounded really good, yeah. You started doing hashtags on the radio. That's how excited you were. What do you mean you're not going?
Well, I didn't foresee the fact
it's
that
just
I was
gonna
going
to be Heston Blumenthal on his own.
I forgot I was working late last night at Mumford & Sons.
Right.
Therefore, I'm a little bit tired today.
Right.
So the last thing
look at Matt backing you up in the hope that you'll back up whatever lame excuse he's got.
No. Well, I had a bit of a dicky tummy last week. I don't think sitting in a pub eating the hot, partly boiled eggs and pork mince.
Well, how are you going to?
It's a good idea.
How are you going to break this to the Scott Jack people?
No,
they've been coming after me hard.
Yeah,
coming after me hard, Matt. They wanted me to judge. And what if I'd said yes? That would have been a professional engagement. I would have had to.
Well, I would have had to come then. I would have gone.
You two would have left me in the lurch, Scotch egg wise. Not a day's gone by I haven't heard a tweet about the Scotch egg challenge. I've made my position about it quite clear, and now you, its greatest advocates, aren't even going.
Maybe I'll go for like one drink and one egg, so I can report back.
We are
XFM. We all love a celebration, don't we? We all love an anniversary. And none is more important to us than this week's one-year anniversary of Work Experience Steve. The Billericay Bazooka, as no one's ever called him before, is a constant source of hard work and joy. His little nitwit legs always on show. In his ever shorter skirts. The little Essex temptress. Sent to test our faithfulness to our wives and girlfriends. 22-year-old honey trap. Now, as a program associate, he is second to none. And on air, it's just so hard to choose from his best bits because it's so hard to find his best bits. You think I'm joking? This took hours. So, let's celebrate 1 year of Steve Ferdinando. Steve, you need to warn people, so I need you to start shouting in Leicester Square. Warning, warning, there will be rain at 8 a.m. Warning, warning.
Warning, warning, there will be rain at 8 a.m.
And again, just do it once.
Warning, warning, there will be... Do I really have to keep this?
Yes!
Warning, there will be rain at 8 a.m.
Okay, he's going to keep doing that. If you
warning.
Are...
Yeah.
Today is an exciting day, ladies and gentlemen, an exciting day, because Work Experience Steve is here, and it's always an exciting day when Work Experience Steve is here.
Well, no, I work just as hard as the rest of you.
Well, it's debatable. But, Steve, do you think you can pass the ball 583 times?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's Work Experience
Hello.
Steve. Oh, you're Work Experience Steve. Where are you from?
I'm from Essex.
Ah, whereabouts?
Billericay.
Never tell them where you're from, kid.
You were walking through Lake Meadows.
Yeah, and on the little, I suppose, river bank.
Right.
There was a tiny little turtle.
A turtle?
I ran home to tell Geraldine, my mother, about it. Because I was, you know, excited.
Of course.
And then she went, Stephen, is this not the same situation as the time you thought you saw stingrays underneath Facton Pier?
Steve Ferdinando, your life starts now.
For the first time in my life, I found a group of people who believe in me.
Yeah.
I am the Guinness World Record holder at throwing a big ball to another man. I am Steve, and hear me roar!
Oh, Steve, you've done us proud.
XFM.
The Steve Ferdinando story. So listen, it's all yours, Steve.
What a story.
The show is all yours for the next 30 seconds. Just get it all off your chest. What do you want to say?
I just want to say thank you to everyone who's, you know...
Shut up, Steve! Shall I pop you in the no-biz? I don't know how Matt's been coping. He's been away for a few days.
I've just been having to just be silent at water coolers.
Talk me through it. What would happen? Someone would walk up.
I'd just see someone go, oh, hi, and then it'd just be blank.
Yeah.
My mind would go blank, and I'd just have to just, like, hum or whistle all the time.
While they were saying, did you see that so-and-so's been wearing a red dress? Or
and I'd go, no, what?
No, what is that all about? And they'd lose interest and walk off.
Been out of the showbiz loop.
Well, I suppose if you're not at work, though, you're rarely around water coolers. Well, you've got a water cooler in your house.
No, he goes in... So desperate is he for showbiz information, he wanders into local businesses.
Yeah.
Seeking, dressed as a water cooler replacement
man. I find opticians often have water coolers in
in their fronts of the stores, so you can just hang out there.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's one of the best facts you've ever given us. Opticians often have a water cooler. Here we go. The Saturdays. Well, they're moving to the United States of America.
Ooh.
We've always wanted to go to different territories, says Una. Territories?
Territories? That sounds like record label speak.
Doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like record label speak? I mean, are you moving there or are you invading?
Yes.
Territories.
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 She's a member of a girl band and she's saying territories.
We've always wanted to go to different territories. Not, we've always wanted to go to the States or the US or America.
Yeah.
It's a territory now.
Man, that's strange. Something's not right there.
Rihanna's
pinch
got...
me.
Yes. Rihanna's got a gold dress on. This is last night's news. It was red in yesterday's papers, which I suppose was the night before. But the Sun have her in a red dress. What's going on?
What?
So it was red. So it was gold. And I don't know what's going on
Whoa.
Here.
Whoa. That's weird.
Someone's
it?
In trouble this morning.
Yeah, we need
Is it red
this.
Or is it gold? I want my daily update. Clarissa Dixon Wright has provoked fury by suggesting that Brits should eat badgers. She says, rather than throw them in a landfill site, why not eat them? What is it? Is this the apocalypse? Why are we concerning ourselves with landfill sites?
Yeah.
This is like the worst first line of a recipe book ever.
Let me write this down.
Go to a landfill site. Get a badger.
Yeah, who's putting badgers? Is that what they do with roadkill? Put it
I didn't think they...
site.
I've never seen a landfill full of badgers.
No.
Either way, I'm not on board, Clarissa. Al in Blackpool, a reader, wrote to the Daily Star to request a picture of Candice Swainpole in a bikini, which they were very happy to publish for him. They did that. Al in Blackpool should really get the internet.
Yeah. I mean,
using the Daily Star is like the slowest dial-up ever.
You are sh**ing me.
I'm not. It's what he did. Michael Bublé's lost weight.
No.
Lady Gaga's angry at people criticising her weight, saying people should be proud of who they are, proud of their weight. But then, a breath later, says she is planning on losing a lot of weight. Mixed messages there. That's why we love her accident. Yeah. Talisa regrets losing her innocence. Because N-dubs had that real innocent sound, didn't they? little angels, like Alan Jones, wasn't it? Like three little Alan Joneses singing about a snowman. Yeah. Alicia Dixon can't wait to release her new single. The last one got to number 80. And Marilyn Manson got a weird letter from Charles Manson, and now wishes he'd stuck with his old name, Brian Warner.
Lols.
And now, you're very much in the no-biz.
XFM.
Mitt Romney. Wow, Mitt Romney. So his wife seems to have been involved in some kind of, there was some kind of electrical fault on a plane she was on, and the pilot had to say, look, we're going to have to land. And there was some smoke in the cabin, and there may have been a small fire in there. And Mitt... He was furious, as you would be, you know? You would be furious about something like that, or you'd be scared and relieved as well. And he went on record by saying, look, when you've got a fire in an aircraft, there's no place to go, you know? You can't find any oxygen from outside to get in the aircraft because the windows don't open. I don't know why they don't do that. It's a real problem, so it's very dangerous. But as we know, if you add oxygen to a fire...
Yeah.
Yeah, has he never blown on a fire? Maybe he's got people to blow on a fire, you know? And also, it's quite dangerous to open a window at, say, 40,000 feet.
No, you can't.
You can't.
You're not allowed.
There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. And the more I look into... I mean, I say it like I've been charged with some mission to look into Mitt Romney. Get Wallace on this, they've said, the government. I mean, he's last month, he was in Cuba, and he said that, I love papaya. Which is a terrific fruit, but he hadn't really done his research, because that is also slang in that neck of the woods for a lady's nonsense. You know, when JFK went to Berlin, he famously said, Ich bin ein Berliner, which, yeah. You know, he was hoping meant, I'm one of you guys, but actually meant, I'm a donor. I think Romney's gone one worse. He even spelt America wrong recently. It's amazing, the country of sort of 280 million or whatever. The people in the race for the top two, there's only ever one that you'd go, yeah, my money's on that guy.
We are
XFM.
Well, Debo just wants to say happy first year anniversary, or first year with XFM. Hashtag legend, Steve. Someone else says, please, can I be a female version of work experience, Steve? What do you mean a female version? What have we got? I want to break his record of throwing a ball. That's lovely. Talk us through your memory of that day you broke the Guinness record for... Guinness record, Steve.
Well, it was actually quite difficult.
Was it?
You know,
throwing and catching a ball.
Yeah, we trained for it.
Yeah.
You know, because your arms are at a right angle all day. Yeah. Well, for 15 minutes.
I noticed you'd never thanked the man that you threw that to.
I thanked him countlessly off air.
Yeah, off air, exactly. Simon, the joint holder of the Guinness world record.
Literally couldn't have done it without him.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Steve, we got together, the guys, and we were just, you know, sometimes we break into song.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can't help it. We're at the pub or whatever, and it may be to do with a bad glass of wine. We just break into song. Steve, this is for you.
Now this is a story all about when the breakfast team found its own little gem. A whole year on, would you ever believe we've still got a kid called Work Experience Steve?
On a contract that was meant to last a week, in he strolled our Billericay geek. But if Ofcom knew he was to work him for free, that would be the end of our little mate Steve.
But whatever next for the coffee making king, no one's really sure that is the thing. But as long as he doesn't cost us a bean, he's very much part of the XFM team. Steve, everybody.
Oh, wow.
We are...
Well, Nick Clegg has been described as a poodle. Right? Not by the newspapers, but by you people. Brits see Nick Clegg as a cross between a poodle and a sheep. It's not a great combination, is it? It's not a wonderful combination. A poodle and a sheep. If it was a car, according to this survey, I'm not really sure why they've done this survey. The more I read it out, the more I'm thinking, why were they asking this? Yeah. If it was a car, he'd be either a smart car, sounds like a compliment, or a Skoda, going back to the insults of the 1980s.
They're a lot better these days, aren't they?
They're a lot better, a lot better.
Very reliable.
Yeah. 51% of...
Vauxhall engines.
How do you know? Have you owned a Skoda?
No, but I thought it got voted like year upon year as being one of the most reliable cars to buy.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think I am right, actually.
What kind of scam are you running here? What are you up to? Is there some kind of sponsorship deal in the offing? Is there?
No.
Why are you such a Skoda fan all of a sudden?
I just thought I'd hit you with a Skoda fact.
Just coming, but you're even saying it's not a fact. You're just saying I think. Why are you so pro Skoda? Why are you so proda?
No. I mean, I like all cars, but
you like all cars.
Yeah, most cars.
Most cars. Yeah. What cars don't you like?
No, I just like cars.
I want to hear you get disparaging about a product or a brand.
Go on.
If it was a car, it'd be a smart car. Or a Skoda, which Dave's a huge fan of. 51% of people polled said they did not accept Mr. Clegg's apology for raising university fees after his party had pledged not to. And this is, you can sometimes tell with the newspapers, just with a certain word they'll use to see what side of the fence they sit on. Only 1 in 5 were happy with his grovel. Not his apology, his grovel. So disparaging. I don't get it. A poodle or a sheep, they're pretty bad. Smart cars or Skoda seems like a compliment. It seems mixed messages. The country is divided on Nick Clegg, I think it's fair to say.
XFM.
Pigeon, are you there?
Yeah, mate. Hello.
Hello, Pigeon. What's going on in the world of Pigeon today?
All good. Just on my way to work.
You're just on your way to work. And where do you work, Pigeon? Trafalgar Square?
around all London, Whitewen.
Just all around London?
Yeah.
Very mysterious, Pigeon. We'll move on. Are you ready to play Quiz Face?
I am.
Then let's get quizzical.
Quiz Face.
And you're a regular listener to Quiz Face, Pigeon?
Yeah, I'm a regular listener every morning, mate.
Every morning you listen to Quiz Face. Well, today's Quiz Face is Secrets of the Pharaoh's Bride, Part 6.
Secrets of the Pharaoh's Bride, Part 6.
Saqqara, Egypt. During a period of absolutist pharaonic rule. Now, Pigeon. Pigeon, yeah. You are, as normal, still Bahiti, daughter of Ikibi. sister of Ebony. With a cousin you don't get on with in Darshore. She cheated your dad out of money 9 years ago. She is an absolute tool. Pigeon, it's a hard life, isn't it? A hard life for one such as you. And you have... And you have no way of knowing that many thousands of years from now, you, a simple slave girl... will be found huddled at the bottom of the Pyramid of Djoser, lying hand in hand, preserved for all eternity, with your sweet love. Pigeon, many will travel to see you from thousands of miles on vehicles you cannot possibly imagine, to bow their heads at the one they call Teti, the Mighty One, ruler of the sand, prince of the desert, the Pharaoh, and of course, the Pharaoh's bride. You're yet to meet him, of course, Pigeon. You're yet to become the Pharaoh's bride. Yet to snare him with your simple beauty, your unaffected charm, the glint in your eye that speaks of a thousand stories yet to be told. Of a life free of the politics, the money, the backstabbing ruthlessness of his father's advisors. Thought Pigeon, was it not Isesi, Mastaba of Faroon, that spake, be unto those that you are unto, as they unto you be that they are unto. Some classic Egyptian humour. Oh, Pigeon.
Yes.
It is so hot, toiling in the desert sand, so how thy feet burn in the midday sun, Pigeon. So, do you want to play your joker?
Yeah, I do.
Right. You do want to play it. Right, it's just that I've put quite a lot of work into setting this up. Quite
I'm pretty sure.
Right, there's quite a lot of audio imagery involved. So you want to, just to be clear, you want to play your joker, or do you want to see what happens next?
I want to play my joker.
There's a really good bit with a horse coming up. So do you, I'll give you one last thing. Do you want to change your mind, or do you want to... Do you want to play your joker? Which is it?
All right. I want to play a joker.
Okay. Whatever. Fine. Play your bloody joker, then. So let's have a round of Bop the Badger.
Oh. Activate the Badger!
Okay. Well, you know what to do. You played your joker. Bop the Badger, Pigeon. Bop the Badger. Shout bop when you want to bop it.
Say again?
Shout, you should know the rules by now. You listen every morning. Bop, bop the badger. Shout bop.
Bop.
Okay. Well, you bopped him, which obviously means we go straight to the final question, Matt.
This won't really make sense now.
I know it won't make sense, because he played his joker. A lot of work went into that, and he... the badger.
Do you still want me to wear this hat?
There's no point. Take the hat off. There's no point in wearing the hat now. Just do the lines as directed.
Okay. Well done, space traveller. I am the one they call Teti. People from my time welcome you.
None of this makes sense now.
Thank you for handing me the Diamond of Alexandria.
None of this makes sense now.
But riddle me this, Pigeon. We are what?
We are
XFM. Yay! Yeah. You did it! Pigeon!
Yeah.
Oh. Why did you play your joker? You played your joker. We had to play Bop the Badger. Did you know how late we were up? Finding eagle sounds, horse whip. We're doing the whole, I was a slave, a little slave man.
I don't know, man. Like the Joker.
A text just come in. I'm from Billericay and want to know whether I've ever been in the same location as Work Experience Steve. I drink in the Blue Boar.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, ding.
Ding. Big tick there.
I went to Mayflower High School.
Oh, yes.
Really? He says, I've never seen a turtle in Lake Meadows, but I had the peacock in my garden during the peacock gate period. Did work as Fruit and Steve ever see the peacock? It was beautiful.
It was a beautiful animal.
Wow. Amazing. Much love from Neil Terry. And was there ever a more Essex name than Neil Terry? We are XFM. We are Matt, had a chat. It's always nice when we find common ground. Common ground, things to talk about, things that unite us. And last night we both watched 10 minutes of Watch Dogs.
Yes, we did.
That's great, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's good.
But we saw different bits. I saw a bit where Anne Robinson was getting absolutely furious. And she said, that is disgraceful, at one point. Because there's been some slight changes to the size of products. And there was a packet of crisps that used to be like 30 grams. It's now like 28 and a half grams. She was furious. I didn't know she was such a big crisp fan.
Whoa.
I know Anne Robinson. And there's a thing where when I first worked with her, I realised you have to call her Annie. You have to.
Really?
Why?
I think it's a shortcut to friendship. It's going to go, I'm in the gang. Annie. Annie. Have to call her Annie.
She says, call me Annie, does she?
It's kind of... You're advised to call her Annie.
Oh, by her people.
Not by her people, just
call
by people.
Her Annie.
She's a terrifying presence. She took a shine to me. It was nice. We got on very well. But she's still quite terrifying. It's not just the weakest link thing. It's her tabloid background.
It's
her harsh demeanour.
Oh, yeah.
She knows what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
I think she'd eat me alive.
You would have no chance.
No, no.
Oh, my goodness me. There was a gentleman on set whose job it was to shine a small light on the floor so that Annie... could just find her way wherever she was going. Like a follow spot in a theatre.
Wow.
Just like a moving follow spot man. Just a man with a torch.
Wow.
Just making sure. Not in like brightly lit rooms. She's not crazy. But I think that's wonderful. What a wonderful...
What a job.
What a great thing to have. I want a man with a torch.
Yeah.
To shine the floor, essentially.
Yeah.
If our careers go well... Then who knows, guys? We could afford a man with a torch one day.
Do you want me to do this for you?
This is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I thought so.
Just slowly putting doubt in your mind, going, does Danny need a man with a torch?
I think it reeks of work experience, Steve, actually.
yeah, that's true. But to make it difficult for him, I'd want a candle. a candle, and then...
him dressed as Wee Willy Winky.
Something like that. And then I would, whenever I'm in a room with Steve, I always ask him anyway to just turn all the lights on. Candle flickering.
Yeah.
And then I'd, to entertain me, I'd say, turn the television, and I'm not interested in the television. He'd say, but Watch Dogs on. Forget it. I want shadow puppets. And I'd make Steve do that. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
That'd be nice, yeah.
What a wonderful thing to do. It's never going to happen, is it? Because of various rules that we have to abide by. We all know the rules because we get here. When we get here about 1:30, ladies and gentlemen, and we get into our show clothes... And then we rehearse every link, don't we?
Yeah.
Like this one.
During rehearsals, dress rehearsals. Yeah.
This one went better in rehearsals.
A lot better in rehearsals.
It's weird.
I can't remember how we got out of this link.
We just kept talking. We just kept talking for ages.
Dave played a song eventually, didn't he? I think.
No. This was a 42-minute Radio 1 style link.
Right.
And it went from candles. Started at Anne Robinson, if you remember.
Yeah.
It was the bit about Watchdog.
Mm. Oh, yeah. So the bit I saw from Watchdog.
Yeah.
Matt Allwright had a bottle of urine poured over his head.
Why did I miss that?
Why
did I get Annie banging on about crisps?
And then some guy started ranting and raving about Richard Bacon.
About Richard Bacon, of all people.
Strange.
Who's on another channel talking about rainforests at the time.
Right, yeah.
It's a strange and unusual world.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Quiz Face.
I'm confirmed it's a pigeon. I'm sorry, fellow fans. I've just bopped the badger. The badger is a proud member of the British wildlife community. If you see one in a landfill, you should eat it without respect. But only if it dies with a broken heart. Those guys are yummy. Thank you, Chris Face. Thank you, Danny Wallace. Love you.
XFM. We are XFM.
Do you remember yesterday, I was telling you about Mitt Romney. He was furious that you can't open windows on planes. Don't understand it. We've got to look at this. This is a real problem. Why can't you open windows at 40,000 feet in a pressurised cabin? That's what he's essentially saying. And the Mirror today, I've got some great quotes from politicians. On the day where America, they're pretty into David Cameron now.
Mm.
Essentially because he's got a British accent. It's your greatest currency in America is your British accent.
Yeah.
They assume everything you say is incredibly smart, right? Yeah. If you whack a suit on there, you know, all he's missing is glasses. That's my secret. They think I'm amazing in America because I have a British accent and I wear glasses, right? Everything I say sounds incredibly wise to them. On the other hand, their politicians, Mitt amongst them, they're not as good. I mean, there's obviously Sarah Palin, who when asked about, you know, why she doesn't really give good answers sometimes, she says, on one in particular, she goes, I didn't really had a good answer for that, as so often is me. It's quite a good quote, isn't it? It's not going to go down with, like, sort of Lincoln's address or anything like that. George H.W. Bush said, I do not like broccoli. I haven't liked it since I was a kid. My mother made me eat it. Well, I am President of the United States, and I'm not going to eat any more broccoli. It's inspiring, isn't it? Inspires
even with
a generation.
The big issues, yeah.
Yeah, it gets a lot of people into politics that way. Schwarzenegger, talking about big issues, says, I think gay marriage is something that should be between a man and a woman. That was good, wasn't it? This is inspiring. If you want inspiring, this is inspiring. Also, Mitt Romney. I believe in an America where millions of Americans believe in an America that's the America millions of Americans believe in. That is the America that I love.
Ooh.
Al Gore said a zebra does not change its spots. Good point. Gerald Ford said if Lincoln was alive today, he'd probably roll over in his grave. And Joe Biden said, folks, I can tell you, I've known 8 presidents, 3 of them intimately. Which is something I'd never really heard of from there. So, you know, I think we do all right. But it is mainly our accents. Steve, what would they make of you in America with your Billericay accent?
I think I'd overwhelm them.
Slow down, because no one understood that. We just said, thank Van Gogh.
So I think I would overwhelm them.
Would you indeed? You'd overwhelm them with your Billericay ways.
Yeah.
You got your anecdotes, though. You were telling an anecdote in the office yesterday. You could win people over with this. What was the anecdote you were telling in the office yesterday?
What, my Pertwee anecdote?
Yeah. Pertwee.
Oh, we've all heard.
I don't know why you're trying to narrow it down to your Pertwee anecdote. You could have just said, my anecdote. Because that's the thing. Everyone sort of, it was like everyone just span around in their chairs and went, not the Sean Pertwee anecdote again. Matt, describe what happened.
Well, it's his story about when he went drinking in
it's
the Groucho.
It's just his story.
He went drinking in the Groucho with Sean Pertwee.
Sean Pertwee.
And voiceover artist.
And since then, everything's been Sean Pertwee this, Sean Pertwee that,
yeah.
Sean Pertwee the other.
And he was late into work the next day and he came in going, oh, sorry, I was at the Groucho with Pertwee.
Sean Pertwee. So everyone was kind of just going, you know, you got to get some new anecdotes, man. You got to, you know, live life. You're a young man. You should be going hither and thither, you know? Having fun and making friends, not just banging on about Sean Pertwee all the time. So I think today it's time for you to retire that Sean Pertwee anecdote. So why don't you tell it one last time?
Okay. So after the Gordon Smart Show, one bright Sunday afternoon, we went to the Groucho Club, a very fancy London club.
That's right.
Sean Pertwee was there.
Of course he was, yeah.
He bought me a bottle of fancy Eastern European lager.
Right.
We drank, we laughed. We walked up Dean Street together.
Oh.
He pointed to where his art gallery is.
Oh.
I said, oh. And then he quickly crossed Oxford Street and left me at the Tube.
Just weeping. Well, that was the last time you'll ever tell that anecdote. Let's pop it in the anecdote amnesty bin. We haven't got that yet. But if we all had to retire an anecdote this morning, and I'm talking to you, ladies and gentlemen, what was the anecdote that you always tell, that you tell far too often? It's your standby. It's your banker. You may be going to a new party, meeting new people. You go straight to it. Well, up your game. Up your game. Ditch the anecdote. It's the only way you'll ever be free. Ditch the anecdote and move on. Move on with life. Find a new anecdote. Today, we're opening the anecdote amnesty, I suppose. Matt, very quickly, retire an anecdote, please.
Oh, I don't want to lose this one, but it's my favourite.
It's got to go.
It's about the footballer Jason Lee, the one with the pineapple on his head.
Yeah.
I've told this as a fact about a year ago. That, And he came to my checkout in Asda once and bought a pineapple. and he was stood right in front of me, and the word pineapple flashed up on my screen with his face and his pineapple hair stood right in front of me.
It's gone.
Forget it.
It's gone.
I loved your anecdote. I loved you.
I am retiring this one. It served me well. I haven't had a bath since the early 1990s.
Oh, no!
Without thinking of the Mexican guitarist, Carlos Santana. after hearing a radio interview with the great man, in which he described the perfect temperature for bathwater.
Yeah.
Meaning that every time I've had a bath since, I've thought of Carlos Santana. It's gone.
Let it go. So, he's Dave. He's choking up over
here. It's okay. It's just... It's been with me through thick and thin.
Well, I've loved that little guy, that little story.
Thank you
very brilliant.
Much. Well, it's gone now. It's gone and we'll move on.
We are XFM.
A mystery man's been handing out £100,000 of his own money to complete strangers in London, right? 100 grand, just walking around. Hello, sir. Hello, madam. Here's some money. The guy, known only as Mr. Lucky, quit his job when he had too much money. Now what a great way to quit your job. Oh, just go to see your boss. I'm so sorry. I've just got too much money. I've got to resign.
It's getting ridiculous.
Yeah, I can't deal with this. And now spends his time looking for 100 goodwill people to give £1,000 each to, right? So Mr. Lucky, so far, has found 94 do-gooders. They call them do-gooders. I've never understood that. Do-gooders is quite a disparaging phrase, isn't it?
Mm.
Oh, do-gooders.
Yeah.
As if what we want less negative of in the world is people doing good. Do-gooders is a great thing. Do-gooders are great. So he's found 94 do-gooders. Let's reclaim do-gooding. And all he asks for is people to do something positive with the money. So he wants do-gooding squared. He wants to do... It's like Die Hard. Do-good harder. I was struggling for that. It was a bit of a stretch. So there's still six to go. That's what I'm taking with him story. He's found 94. He's got another £6,000. Mr. Lucky is on the lookout.
Yeah.
Matt, what would your pitch be to Mr. Lucky if Mr. Lucky was listening now?
The other day I was waiting for a bus and it stopped right in front of me, and yet I let two old ladies on before me.
Oh!
So, you know...
And you want £1,000 for that?
That's just the latest.
You want £1,000
for? That's just the latest in a long line of good things.
Dave, if Mr. Lucky's listening, what's your pitch?
Mr. Lucky, if you're right there, hi, I'm Dave. And this morning, on the way to the bus stop, a wheelie bin had fallen over.
Yeah.
And it was in the road, so I picked the wheelie bin up and put it back on the pavement.
Gosh, kind-hearted and topical.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, listen, here's what we should do. We've got some little prizes. We've got some little things. We can do some good this morning. Let's get Work Experience Steve out in Leicester Square, handing out a couple of confirmed listener mugs, but surreptitiously looking out for Mr. Lucky, right? You want to be seen by Mr. Lucky. You could score a grand out of this. We are... Let's play Celebrity or Civilian.
Celebrity or Civilian.
So I got a bunch of tweets here. Some are from Matt Helders of Arctic Monkeys. Some are from Jill Helders of Truly Scrumptious, the coffee shop in Sheffield. And we're asking you, which is which? Jill was on the show last week. Here's a clip.
Mrs. Helders, you're manipulating the media and I'm going to make you stop.
You don't call me Mrs. Helders.
She told me. So, on the line, we have Sipper. Sipper, are you there?
Hello, Barry. How you going, mate?
Hey, Sipper. I'm all right, thank you. You seem in good spirits, Sipper.
I'm over the moon, mate. I'm over the moon.
That's good. And why do they call you Sipper, Sipper?
Takes me a long time to drink my pints. So.
Oh. Is that in some way so that you don't have to buy your round as quickly?
It might be a little bit tactical, yeah, but, you know.
Tactical drinker. Hey, so I've got some tweets here to read out to you. Some will be from Matt Helders of Arctic Monkeys. Some will be from Jill Helders, Matt's mum. If you can get two out of... it's three out of five. If you get three out of five correct, then you're going to see We Are Augustines. Does that sound good?
Blinding, mate.
Excellent work. So here's the first one. Is this celebrity or civilian? Thanks, everyone, for the birthday love. But please, don't forget, it's also Eagle-Eyed Cherry's birthday today. Getting his second shout-out on the important broadcast today. What? So is that celebrity? Civilian. You're saying civilian. You're saying that's Jill Helders is referring to Eagle-Eyed Cherry's birthday?
Yeah.
Incorrect. Oh. No, it's Matt Helders and his cheeky charm. How about this? I'm watching Pointless in real time, which is a Monday-only thing for me. I want to go on Pointless, but I think I'd be rubbish. Is that the drummer from the Arctic Monkeys, the celebrity in question, or is that his mum, Jill?
Celebrity.
You're saying celebrity? No. Oh, you think Matt Helders wants to go on Pointless?
Oh,
excited.
Just take a moment. Pretend the quiz is a pint, yeah? sip it slowly. Enjoy it. Don't panic. It's fine. Who said this? Understand me, son. I'm the slickest they is. I'm the quickest they is. Did I say I'm the slickest they is?
Celebrate!
You'll say celebrity?
Yes!
Yes! Yes, Sipper! Yes, Sipper!
Come on!
How about this one? I had a call from a charity to donate clothes to the starving. I told them to get lost. Anyone who fits into my clothes is definitely not starving. Is that a quote from Matt Helders, the live drummer? I haven't finished the question.
Good.
Sorry.
Is that Matt Helders, the notoriously lithe and slim, quite in shape drummer of the Arctic Monkeys? You're going civilian.
Yes!
So it's all down to this. It's all down to this. Have we got like a tension bed? We're going to make this very tense for you. Now you've got two wrong so far, and you've got two right. You're not rubbish. You're just quizzically challenged. So here we go. Final one. Has anyone else noticed that each episode of CSI Miami seems to have a colour theme? Now, before you answer, was that Matt Helders? Extraordinarily busy man. Always all over the world, isn't he? Always all over the world. Probably watching like foreign TV channels and things like that. Or is that Jill Helders, the lady we've already established, spends her Mondays watching Pointless? Are you saying
Danny,
celebrity? Yeah?
Danny, I love you, mate. I'm going to say civilian.
Yeah! Oh, thank God, Sipper.
Oh, yeah, baby!
That couldn't have gone worse at the beginning, Sipper. I'll be honest.
I'm such a loser, but thanks, man.
No worries, you're a winner in our eyes. We are Augustines. You have to see them playing Shepherd's Bush Empire on the 1st of October. You happy?
Yeah, mate, over the moon!
Sipper, we adore you. Where the hell have you been for the last 14 months? Is Muse. Mate, go on. Yeah. What?
No, I was just going to say, big shout out to my man, Slash. You're coming, buddy.
Sipper and Sash on the lash. But it does take a long time with Sipper.
We are XFM.
So let's do Guess Who. Guess Who. So I've got 60 seconds to guess who might be on the end of the line. It'll be someone that we have talked about in some way. It could be relevant to a news story. It could be relevant to a survey. It could be a celebrity. We just don't know. So they're on the line, are they, Dave?
They are.
All right, then start the counter. So, caller, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
It's a man. It's a man caller. That narrows it down. It's 50%. All right, gentlemen. Are you in London?
Nope.
You're not in London. Was this a news story this week?
Yep.
Are you at the heart of the news story?
Sort of.
Sort of. Are you in the news? Are you the person that it happened to?
I'm the person that's been looking at it.
So you've been studying something?
I have.
Is it a survey of some kind?
It could be described as that.
Could be described as a survey? Is it a study? Are you? I think I know who you are. Is this to do with a massive invasion of the country of some way?
Yes.
Are you Les Noble?
That's right.
Yes, it's Les Noble!
Well
How
done.
Are you? How are you, Les Noble?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. Your name stuck in my mind because someone texted in after I'd talked about you, wondering if the French for your name would be Les Nobel.
Only by people who speak very bad French.
Yeah, I suppose so. Now, Les, let me get this straight. This was to do with slugs and our plucky British slugs being domineered by super slug invaders.
Yeah, that's right. I'm afraid our plucky British slugs have been pretty much wiped out.
Oh, man. How did this happen? Why didn't we stop it?
The problem is that nobody really took notice that we have some of these slugs coming in. Some of them look very like our native British slugs, which is why we've called one of them the Spanish stealth slug.
The Spanish stealth slug? The triple S?
Exactly.
And why were they more dominant than our slugs? Was it just a question of our slugs' attitude, or our slugs just a bit slovenly? The Spanish slugs, they were just more sluggish. Thank you, Matt Dyson. The Spanish slugs, they just sort of went for it, did they?
They did. They produced more offspring than our native British slugs, but we also think...
It's the continental lifestyle.
I think it is. It's all that warm weather they have down in...
Yeah, they're always having a slug siesta. A sliesta. Yeah. And you obviously, you're at Aberdeen University, and you said these slugs are like conquistadors were to the Aztecs, which is a fantastic quote. I mean, when I read this out, I was like, where's this guy been hiding? We need more quotes like this, guys.
Yeah, well, I've been hiding in Aberdeen, where the slugs are, in the last bastion.
and so there are still slugs in Aberdeen, so some plucky British slugs just holding out in Aberdeen. And are you helping these guys?
Well, unfortunately, no.
Less. You're the problem, not the solution.
Well, there's very little we can really do to help them.
Oh, man. Well, on that note, Les, and it is a downbeat note, I was hoping that perhaps we could sort of rise up slug-like and conquer, fight back. But it seems like these almost genetically engineered Spanish super slugs sliding in salads have got the best of us.
Well, give our slugs another 10 years and maybe we'll find a way to help them.
Yes. Well, we're king of the comebacks, aren't we? We are the underdog in Britain, so we can make this happen.
XFM.
Well, Mr. Lucky walks amongst us. Sounds like a euphemism, doesn't it? But it's not. It's a man called Mr. Lucky who's wandering around London. £100,000 was his budget. He's given out £94,000 so far, a grand a time, to people doing, good deeds. People have put something positive into society. So I've asked you to text in 83936 with your little pitches towards Mr. Lucky. That's some appropriate music. There it is.
Yes.
What's happening? And lots of people doing some very, very nice things. Very nice things. Matt, hit me with a pitch for Mr. Lucky.
Callum from Brentwood says, "Hey, Mr. Lucky, last night I allowed my girlfriend to have the last slice of pizza."
Oh, that's nice.
Selfless.
Sarah says, "Hey, Mr. Lucky, yesterday afternoon I helped an elderly lady. She dropped a lottery ticket, was struggling to pick it up again. It was being blown away. She was very unsteady, trying to lean on her walking stick. I caught it and gave it back to her, while other people just stood around and watched." Nice work, Sarah. Another one.
Real Sam Robson says he helped a Nigerian prince escape a militia coup using his life savings.
What a wonderful thing to do.
Surely worth the visit from Mr. Lucky on many levels.
What a wonderful thing to do. Let's get some live Mr. Lucky action right now. Work Experience Steve is in Leicester Square. Steve, are you there?
Hello, I'm here.
What's in your hands, Steve?
Confirm listener mugs.
You've got some mugs to give away. So this is kind of your way of infiltrating the Mr. Lucky community. By going out there, doing a random act of kindness, giving someone a mug. It's the Twin Wells, isn't it? You're raising awareness of the important broadcast while also doing something nice for someone else, while also trying to get a grand off Mr. Lucky. Yeah. So approach someone, please, Steve.
Right, okay, I'm on the approach.
Who are you approaching?
I'm approaching a lady now.
Lady approach.
Hello, we're doing good deeds on behalf of the XFM Breakfast Show. Would you like a listener mug? Are you in charge of Mr. Lucky? Any chance for Mr. Lucky?
Oh,
no, we've not found it yet.
Ask her if you can have £1,000 anyway.
Can I have £1,000 anyway? Sorry? Can I have £1,000 anyway?
Yes, please.
She thinks this is a competition. Move away.
Thank you.
Find someone else, please, Steve. What else you got? A mug?
I know, we're doing good deeds on behalf of the... Oh, no, I've got a stern shake.
Rebuffed. Mr. Unlucky.
Hello, we're doing good deeds for the XFM Breakfast Show. Would you like a confirmed listener mug? No, would you like a mug? No one's the mug.
Why are they rebuffing the mugs? This is the greatest prize of all time.
These mugs are like gold dust to others.
If anyone's the mugs, they are.
Yeah.
Quickly, Steve, give away another mug.
Hello, we're giving away mugs for the XFM Breakfast Show. Here you go. I've been so widely rejected.
Steve,
here.
What is wrong with your approach? What are you doing? Turn the music off. Steve, talk to me. What's going on here?
I've not gelled my hair this morning. Maybe it's something to do with that. Yes.
Why are you feeling so unlucky, Steve?
Maybe it's just, I was quite abrasive in terms of the whole, can I have £1,000 thing.
Steve, just listen, just take a moment. Just tell me about what's going on in your life right now. Why can't you do this?
It
should be easy. Well, you're giving people free mugs, and you're out there. We went to a lot of trouble to get the radio mic sorted, and what's happened is you've embarrassed me and the programme on air by being unable to give away. Give away, Steve, a confirmed Mr. Mug. What's going on?
I think I've just lost my way, Danny.
Come on, Steve.
Hey, so would you like a confirmed list of the mug?
I'm still trying.
Would you like a confirmed list of the mug?
Oh, this is embarrassing.
Literally. Yeah, he's taking the mug.
He's yeah! Oh, I knew you could do it, Steve. Oh, it was he Mr. Lucky, though?
He's gotten this too late.
Oh, he's out of the £1,000. Oh, man. Well, we tried our best, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Lucky, if you're out there, do please get in touch.
We gave away three.
Yeah, and we're above three times, Steve. Get back in here. It's great looking out the window at Leicester Square, Steve. He looks like a Ghostbuster right now. I think that's why he's got a very intimidating microphone, a huge proton pack on his back, and he's trying to give mugs and ask people for a grand. It was never destined for success. We are Danny Analytics. 4 hours of important broadcasting, Matt Dyson. And if I was to ask you what you've learned, what would be your response in words?
Well, I'd say I don't think we've really talked enough about the enormity of what happened to us earlier. Mm. An amazing, unprecedented incident where the stars aligned to create some kind of popular cultural synergy across London.
Yes.
Right here on the XFM Breakfast Show. Eagle Eye Cherry was mentioned twice. In two unrelated sections
completely
of the show.
Completely different.
Completely, you know, out of the blue.
Completely out of the blue.
What are the chances?
I mean,
the Swedish half-brother of Naina Cherry has not been mentioned on commercial radio in this country since 1999.
Yeah, exactly.
And this morning, twice.
Twice in one show. Also on this morning's important broadcast, the tech system crashed, meaning we had to hastily assemble this jingle.
0845 47 83936.
And use the phones for the first time since 1988. A great era for radio. Join us next week for the XFM Roadshow at Clacton, Skegness and Scunthorpe. Look out for us in Green Thunder, our XFM-branded Suzuki Jeep convertible, or book us to play at your school disco with Hungry Howard from GWR. Plus, win a mug. That last bit is sadly true.
XFM.
So that was podcast number 62 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Matt, quickly just come up with 11 bands, all of whom have some relation to the aquatic world.
Fish.
Quickly.
Fish from Marillion.
Yeah.
Real big fish.
Come on.
Real big fish. Have You Fed the Fish Today was a song by Badly Drawn Boy.
Really? Okay. Yes. Number four. Quick.
Noah and the Whale.
Yes.
Oh, God.
That'll do. See you next week.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.